Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now, for God's sake. I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that is Rex Hupke. We're here to talk about politics, as the name implies. Lots of things to talk about today. I think highest on the list, let's open up with Manchester. There was a terror attack. And here's what I think, Rex. I think that we're in, if the nation was, if we were like a family road trip, we're at the phase of it where everybody's ready to go home and have their separate corners because they're all sick of each other and they're fighting in the car. I think that's where we are as a nation.
I have to say that sounds about accurate, yes. Everybody wants to yell at everybody, and that's pretty much as far as the conversations seem to go.
Yeah, because...
Stop touching me!
Yeah, right. I'm not touching you. I'm not, like, where you hover your finger, like, right. 4 inches from someone's forehead. I'm not touching you.
Exactly.
That is what is happening, and I feel like... At one point, I even showed vulnerability to some insane woman troll yesterday who I just said, I don't have it in me to fight today. I don't. I'm not feeling this. I was like, I'm worn out with the anti-Semitism. It's getting gross and personal. And this woman initially was like a listener of something I do on the radio and was quite pleasant. And then she just sits on Twitter just to be hateful to people.
Mm-hmm.
Typical troll stuff.
Yeah.
And, was subtweeting me about not weighing in on Manchester.
Because you are WGN's
right.
British correspondent.
And here's the thing. I think, and I've said this politely many times, I've said, well, we've done a bad job of explaining, you know, how journalism works. You know what? There are also very stupid people out there that don't care, and you could explain it to them all day, and you can't talk sense into stupid, and that's really the end of it. I can't report on Manchester. I'm not in Manchester. I did not see anything in Manchester. Well, you call yourself a journalist, so I'm supposed to just materialize around the globe every time something. Go fuck yourself. You're an idiot. Like, that's where we're at. I was going to go the whole show without swearing. I didn't know.
That didn't last. That didn't last a minute.
There should be a bingo card, some kind of like drinking game. How long Goof can last. Anyway, I mean, I hate to rip on somebody, but I got so mad. I have only blocked like 5 people in my life on Twitter, and I blocked her. It got so disgusting.
Yeah.
And like other people started jumping in about it, and I got the K word. Like, it was real exciting.
It's just not worth it. I mean, people like that, there's just, I've gotten better. I used to fight more. And I've gotten a lot better because it just is not worth it. I mean, there was a time when I held out hope for maybe being able to, you know, have some kind of reasonable dialogue.
Right. Back in the old days when we said dialogue, fuck that.
Yeah. But when people come at you like that, it's just pointless. And honestly, yeah. I don't block people. I mute people. I don't block them because I don't even want them to know that I've... You know, they can't tell if they've been muted.
Well, here's what I did first. I unfollowed this woman because at one point we were like having useful conversation. She seemed like a pleasant person at first, mm-hmm. and she was quite nice. I unfollowed her. So she started tweeting up a storm about women are so goddamn spineless is what she was saying. And I was like, have you met me? Because I can literally break a human being in half.
You're like 90% spine.
Right. I'm mostly spine, fool. So I was just like, and you know what? We are done. I'm blocking you, and I want you to know that I've blocked you.
Yeah,
because
well,
you are
fine.
A terrible
yeah.
and rude and hateful person.
Yeah, sure.
And it has been like sitting, and that's the thing. It's not cool to talk about it affecting you. You're supposed to be like, I don't care. I don't even know that person.
Yeah.
It did. It does affect me. It has infuriated me all day that this woman just went on Twitter just to start shit. And she's got this like real sweet little like white lady picture with her little turtleneck. And she's supposed to be so sweet. But like, she's a psycho.
Yeah.
She doesn't want information. She wants to pick on people. She thinks she's right. She is always talking about dialogue. In fact, she doesn't want dialogue. She wants to sit there and pontificate and not feel like a stupid person
yeah.
is what.
They're emotional terrorists. Is what people like that are. I mean, they are.
I like that.
They're small in number in the grand scheme of things.
But those people will tell you they can't be terrorists because they're not brown.
Right. Of course. Well, yeah, that's true. Terrorists. I don't care.
I'll call anybody. Yeah.
Right.
If
but
you're committing acts that drive people to terror to
yeah,
horrify them,
right.
you are committing terrorism.
And the. I mean, it, I want to feel bad for them because it's really, I can't imagine being so pathetic that you're getting right. you're getting off on
that
making
you have
other
nothing
people,
else to do.
Right, you're making yep. other people unhappy, and yep. that's giving you pleasure.
Sure,
there is a dopamine rush that comes from that, and you're feeding off that, and it's yeah. really twisted. And it's twisted because people like, I mean, you know, it affects us. We also are slightly at least callous to it because we deal with it constantly yeah. because of what we do. But there's people out there who don't. And I mean, I've known tons of people who've been driven off Twitter. They just are like, fuck yeah. it, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. And it's all, that sucks. I mean, it's wrong, and it's a mindset that I cannot fathom. And again, it is like a terrorist. Yeah. I don't understand what makes a person a terrorist. I don't understand what makes someone a troll and an emotional terrorist like that. It's just ridiculous. And I'm not trying to conflate the two as being, you know, equally bad or whatever, but it's the same.
Yeah.
Same sort of a psychological thing.
And you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know why I just said that. Like, I'm not always. I'm going to start telling the truth to you, Rex Hub, because I've been lying to you this much.
What?
Damn. It is easier for me to get my head around it when it is a dude. Because I'm like, oh, well, that's just like a small man who just feels like threatened by women. Yeah. When women do it, I don't understand the dynamic as much.
Oh, you can have small women, too. I mean, you know, I understand what
it's
you're
like
saying.
Defensiveness. It's like,
yeah,
in the realm of toxic masculinity, it makes sense, but not so much. It doesn't. Women, I don't know. I don't deal with as many women who bully as much as women who are catty.
Right.
Like, that's how women bully.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's an overwhelmingly, internet trolls are overwhelmingly male. I mean,
right. But there's
no
a weird
question.
Subsection of like older white women.
Yes. And I hear from them too. I get email. You know, and again, it's not the same. It's usually not the same. It's not like, you suck, you lib, blah,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
you know, but it's just nasty. You know, it's like, you
right.
know, you're an idiot and you don't, you know, like, and it's kind of the more thought out nastiness basically, as opposed to just
yeah.
this kind of reflexive, you know, garbage hurling. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the idea that if you don't, I mean, we've talked about this before too. We're in such like this kind of binary time. It's like, okay, if you comment on, if you don't, you know, you're constantly talking about Trump and then something else happens in the world, whatever it is,
right.
and you don't comment on that, then you're biased as if it's Twitter, first of all, in most cases that we're talking about. And so it's not like bias is a thing. I mean, it's your Twitter account. You can write about whatever you want. You're not under any obligation. And so yeah, people are constantly looking for, if there's somebody they don't agree with, they're looking for a way to knock them down or to lessen their value somehow, or,
yeah.
you know,
oh,
to,
yeah.
you know, to show totally. That you're not all you're cracked up to be.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, as if everybody can comment on everything all the time or should.
Right.
I mean, I think you set a good example I didn't tweet a bit about Manchester because I don't know. Enough. I didn't know enough when it first happened. Even now, I don't really know.
And frankly,
enough.
It's all been said.
Well, and it's
like you and I are not going to contribute anything original because we're not standing there.
And sadly, stuff like things like Manchester have happened,
right?
Unfortunately, and it's awful. And that doesn't. I don't mean to lessen it or think that we shouldn't think about it. But you know, it wasn't like this was the first time that there has been an ISIS attack on a European city,
right?
Even at a concert, for mm-hmm. that matter. I mean, in France, at the whatever it was, the death metal band a year or so ago. So there are people who focus on that. I'm not
right.
one of those people. You're not one of those people. And so we'll, you know, say what we will say about
right.
what we feel like we know something about. And more people should do that. If more people would shut up about things that they don't understand fully.
Yes.
Or aren't experts or even like educated
on. Or even trying to understand.
Right. Or even trying. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think that's half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is like if you are on a beat, you probably know a lot about something, but half of it is attempting to understand all you can about that area.
Yeah.
But attempting is perpetual studentship there, like something you have to admit that I'm always learning by covering this area. And also, let us not confuse terrorism and politics.
Right.
And like she was like the kerfuffle. I'm going to stop saying she because this ended up being a lot of people in this conversation yesterday. But like it was being pointed. Well, you do that political show. Well, but I don't cover every fucking aspect of politics.
Not at all. I mean, we focus.
There is a political aspect to terrorism, but terrorism and politics are not the same thing.
Sure. Right. Yeah. And this wasn't something where I felt like, you know, Donald Trump did something particularly good or bad.
Well, I thought it was stupid of him to call the perpetrator a loser.
You know what? Yes, I agree, because it just doesn't... I mean, it sounded kind of beneath the dignity of the office of the president. It didn't sound like... It just sounded like a, you know, the guy at the end of the bar talking. But at the same time, you know, there is an... this would turn into a terrorism talk, I suppose, but there is an element to trying to downplay any glorification of...
Sure.
You know, because, you know...
Right, but to me, that's like saying...
For the president to say that, though, it was...
Like, Ted Bundy's mean.
Right.
Like, you're kind of downplaying the reality of it, too.
Those guys were jerks, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Dahmer was kind of a dick.
Yeah, right. Like, deep thoughts, but... Yeah, no, I mean, but by and large, though, look, in terms of... From him, I thought that was a perfectly good response. You know, I was like, okay, yeah.
And typical and expected.
Right, and he didn't say... I mean, whatever. At this point, the bar is so low, you know, a rattlesnake could trip over it, so...
Right.
The yeah, whatever.
The weirdest thing that occurred in Trollniverse yesterday was I was both called the K word and accused of, like, someone scrolled back through a tweet over the weekend, or over the weekend I said something about I make a point to once in a while look at Nazi Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I look at lots of Twitter areas, factions, right?
Sure.
But I was looking at Nazi Twitter and I said, I tweeted something like, you know, once in a while I look at Nazi Twitter and I honestly don't know what to tweet afterwards sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had like pulled that tweet into the conversation and was just like, well, maybe they're influencing you. And I'm like, well, which is it?
Well, that doesn't even, yeah.
Am I like a globalist awful Jew, or am I being influenced by neo-Nazis? Yeah. And then someone tried to school me on the difference between a Nazi, a neo-Nazi, and a skinhead. And I was like, all hate my people. Don't really care.
All hate most people, for that matter.
So yeah, don't care.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to...
But it was an interesting tell that, like, the idea of looking at another point of view is somehow that I'm so gullible that I would just, like, oh, if I see a Nazi tweet something, I might be influenced. Like, that's the same kind of crazy-ass person that's going to say, like, if you watch a non... Or if you listen to non-religious music...
Mm-hmm.
Satan might get you. Like, it's crazy.
So many people are in that sort of, they don't even see their own hypocrisy right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of that's learned. There was a great, somebody caught this, which I thought was fantastic, Tucker Carlson on Fox News about a week ago. Oh, and I'm not going to remember exactly what the study was about, but there was a study from the Shorenstein Center at Harvard. I believe it's at Harvard, about something that Tucker Carlson disagrees with, and he denounced the study as a bunch of liberal elite, blah, 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 blah,
sure.
blah. But then when Harvard, I think it was Harvard, they released the study about media coverage of Donald Trump being like 90% negative in the first 100 days. All over it. Wonderful. Even saying things like, well, now we have some academic minds who are really good. It was the same. Shorenstein released or was interviewed on, and it was the same people doing the damn report. So it's like, you know what? That's, you talk about a tell. I mean, you're just, you're garbage. I mean, you're full of absolute nonsense.
Right.
And you just show it. I mean, look at the Sean Hannity crap this week.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's just.
At some point, it's like, you're so stupid, you don't even know how stupid you are.
Right.
And I feel like, in a rational mind, the older you get, the less you realize you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say not only the older, the more knowledge you have, the less you realize you know.
Right.
Like, as you, right, who among us, like, can you remember sitting in a classroom somewhere in college on a topic that challenged you and you were like, holy shit, I know nothing.
Yeah, of course.
And it's the moment that changes you from a know-it-all smart-ass teenager to a, oh my God, I know nothing. I'm a tiny little pebble on this earth, right? And I think some people never cross that threshold. They stayed in the know-it-all asshole teen mode.
Well, just as I was writing in, I noticed this Sean Hannity tweet from earlier this morning. And for those who perhaps have been fortunate enough to miss this, Sean Hannity's been going off on this insane conspiracy theory about a DNC a DNC staffer who was killed in what was believed to be a robbery or, you know, something like that. But the crazy far-right InfoWars type folks have spun it off into he was murdered by Hillary Clinton's people because he leaked stuff to WikiLeaks, and that proves there's no Russian conspiracy and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it is bonkers, and it's horrible because it's killing the family. And the family has pleaded with Hannity, who's the highest profile figure who's touting this crap.
Right.
They've pleaded with him to stop. Anyway, he tweeted Media Matters, which is that website.
Mm-hmm.
Organization, which has been sending out lists of advertisers to people to get them to boycott, So he tweeted that Media Matters is hoping advertisers will give in to pressure and they will silence freedom of speech. Liberals, do you support this effort? To which I'm like, A, yes. B, it's not silencing freedom of speech, you idiot. It's the market. It's like, it's literally the market correcting itself. I mean, it's just, it has nothing to do. Boycotting advertisers because you're spinning lies, hideous lies that are just killing a family that lost their child. Is not, you're so dumb.
You're
just
mixing things that don't belong.
Yeah, but either he's dumb or he just thinks his followers are so dumb, which they may be if they're actually buying into this crap he's spinning. And it's just, but the whole thing.
Or he's lost his mind.
Yeah, he does seem like the.
He has cracked.
Cheese has slid off his cracker a bit.
Like he and Huckabee.
Yeah.
Have smoked the same.
Yeah.
Devil's lettuce.
Yeah.
And did not come down from it.
Yeah, it's just he's off the rails, and you know, I feel like he's trying to get booted out of Fox at this point, and I don't know exactly what the end game there is, but yeah, this has just been this whole week from him, the past week has just been absolutely disgraceful, and you know, he's calling it liberal fascism because people are trying to silence his investigation into this horrible death. Like, you give a crap, you know? Like, come on,
reel it in, guy, reel it in. I don't trust your investigative skills to investigate where the fucking men's room is, bro.
But I think, and so much of this stuff ties in with Trump. So much of this, when the 10 years from now, when we're sort of examining and there's all sorts of...
When we're sifting through the rubble.
Right, yes.
And getting electricity restored on the grid after we've been living in the woods.
When I'm running a cockroach farm to feed my family.
Guth and Hupke on Politics is brought to you by Hupke Cockroach Farm.
Yes. More cockroach, please.
Gross.
They'll look at this and just see the kind of ripple effects that this lunkhead has had on so many things, because that's what is emboldening. I mean, Sean Hannity was already nuts.
Totally.
Okay, but now he feels like he can just go into like hyperdrive nuts. And this is another tweet. I thought this was great. I will address this suffering family tonight at 10. It breaks my heart. Know this. I will pursue the truth wherever it may lead for justice. That's a numeral for justice.
Sure it is. Like, you don't have a heart.
For justice. I was like, what are you? You think you're a freaking superhero or something? Now I will perform. I'm like Captain America.
Come on, guy.
Calm down and get out of your underoos and stop running around the living room, you dummy. But you know, he's just it's horrible. And you know, it's not just, you know, I mean, he's so far removed from any form of journalism at this point. It's just,
oh God,
it's just carnival barking nonsense, and it absolutely infuriates.
I've never thought he was, he's a showman.
Yes.
There's a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can host a show without a journalism background.
Sure.
Plenty of people do it. Mm-hmm. And some people have like an actor kind of background. Some people just like MC host kind of type host that brings that into broadcast. And those are all perfectly fine. But if you are pretending to be one that you're not, mm-hmm. is where you're going to misrepresent yourself and infuriate people.
Yeah.
Which he has done. He is, I don't think the man is stable. I've never thought he's stable. I think he is a showman. I don't even know if he believes what he's saying half the time.
I think a lot of these guys get so wrapped up in their own bullcrap, like Limbaugh and Hannity. Glenn Beck was obviously completely bananas. And others. And there's people on the left, too, that do it. I mean, you know, I think Bill Maher's kind of a nutter myself, and you know, other people that drive me up a wall. Michael Moore I can't really stand either, and you know, people, but I think they get kind of wrapped up in their own whatever it is they've created, this sort of persona that they've created, and then they start believing their own bullshit, and then bye-bye, and eventually it just wears really thin.
So when we're super famous, we don't do that, we should make sure we surround ourselves with people who talk a bunch of shit to us and say really mean things, so we don't, you know.
No, I'm going to be insufferable.
I'm sure of that.
I'm going to be bananas. I'm going to have like a big Dairy Queen soft serve that I keep right next to the microphone and just like, occasionally.
When you run out of Dairy Queen Blizzard, just yell at somebody, throw the cup at somebody.
Intern!
I said, bottomless blizzard!
You didn't make this with love?
I don't know what my equivalent is. Here's my tell. I have like a bag of very spicy chili lime chips sitting here. My thing is, I want like aggressive sounding food when I'm stressed out. Like, I want tortilla chips so that the food knows I'm mad.
I want Lay's Bag-O Glass.
Right. Speaking of glass, did you see my tweet? I stepped on a giant piece of glass yesterday. It was super gross.
Oh,
I have
sorry.
A big old bandage on my foot.
Yeesh.
It was gross. And I was on a conference call. I was on a production call for a film I'm working on. And the other two people had just gotten on, and I was like, shit, hell, god damn it. I was like yelling and bleeding all over my kitchen. It looked like a horror movie. So I wrote a haiku about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I completely missed it. What was the glass from? Was it just a random shard of glass?
I had a vase, and I dropped it in the sink when I was changing the water for the flowers.
Uh-huh.
And it shattered in a weird way, and I swept everything, but there was a shard in like the kitchen rug. And I didn't, this is gross, I didn't set my foot on top of it. Mm. I, you know, you don't like march in your own house. You shuffle.
I do, but
you
go ahead.
Probably don't. So I like slid my foot onto it, which was even grosser.
Yeah, that's rough. You stabbed your, you, yeah.
Yes.
Impaled yourself.
I impaled myself on a shard of glass, and it was very gross.
Oh, man.
And I had to remove it, and I was really unhappy about that while being on a conference call. Like, I was sort of leading the call, trying to be, like, all professional about it. Like, I was, like, asking questions and putting it on mute so I could, like, yank this piece of glass on my foot. It was terrible. So I have creative bandaging. It's on the bottom of my foot. So I have, like, creative bandaging because I'm, like, I can't not walk.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go get crutches for a piece of glass cut on my foot.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
Okay, then. Dang. Well, it's kind of badass, though, you know.
Not really.
Like pulling the glass out. Or...
No. No. It
you
was,
could make it more
it's like a too. Geyser. It was disgusting. It was just like a bloodbath in my kitchen. It was so gross. Speaking of gross, no, I don't know what I was going to go with that.
That could go a lot of places.
So many
right
ways.
Now.
I know. There's so many other things that we want to get to. I would like to talk about many... kind of oh no you didn't moments that are happening right now. This is very lowbrow and very petty. This is the Jerry Springer of politics right now.
Now
but nonetheless it's interesting and funny. The two hand holding refusals and the side eye from the Pope.
Brilliant. It's the highlights of this trip.
I'm like, there are so many bigger things to worry about. There's systemic racism and sexism and like all this shit I should be thinking about and said, but I cannot stop looking at Melania like, don't touch me.
She hates him. I mean, I tried to sort of just keep my nose out of that. I haven't written anything about it, but, you know, I sort of tried to downplay that because whatever, but man, I mean, it's visceral. Like, she does not like that man one bit. And the hand, twice, very clearly, where he tries to reach for her hand. She's
I'm
like,
not going to even pretend in public. Like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
I don't
blame
her. I think he's hideous.
Oh, yeah.
Don't touch me.
He's a vile.
And now, people immediately, when those started circulating, people were like, oh, no, don't feel sorry for her. I think she's complicit. I also think that she is complicit.
Yeah.
Somebody, but they can still hate each other.
Somebody made, this was kind of lousy, but somebody said she doesn't seem to smack his hand away when it's giving her money.
It's terrible.
Like, it was terrible, but, you know, that's part of the complicitness of it, I think. You know, I mean, she's intertwined with all this.
Well, I mean, we can speculate as to the nature of their initial romance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to say, oh, she was digging his gold.
Mm.
Because she's a very lovely woman,
and
he is not a particularly lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, I agree. And I wasn't implying that part.
I just mean
now, at this point, though, she's certainly...
Well, don't you think she's kind of stuck, even if she wanted to divorce him now? I think she's kind of stuck.
I don't know. I don't know how that... I mean, honestly, I can't, that's a hard situation to put myself in. Plus, also, I mean, it could... I don't want to sound too conspiratorial here, but there may be an issue of, like, you know, she's literally worried about what would happen if she, you know, tried to divorce right now in terms of... him just destroying her reputation or what,
sure.
You know, I mean, all kinds of things. So, she may be stuck, but I don't know, to be honest with you, I think you could start a free Melania Kickstarter and probably get a cool million in there in about an hour just from people who would be willing to, help her out, to escape from that.
Right.
Because,
well, there were a lot of signs during the Women's March that said like blink twice if he wants to save you.
Exactly.
I mean, I think, look, even if like, let's take who they are out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Many times we have seen it play out where a woman is married to and financially dependent upon a man who is powerful and wealthy,
mm-hmm.
And it is very difficult for her to extract herself from that situation, especially if there's a child involved.
Sure. Yeah. And that's true. Right. Yeah, exactly. And we were overlooking Barron there. And yeah, that's a very good point, too. Look, Trump and all of the Trump children.
I think they're all a little weird. They all seem to be of crazy.
Yeah. Well, and just they don't, you know, like the Ivanka is as and Jared is moderating influences crap, obviously, has gone away swiftly. And I think that they're all just, you know, sort of these money grubbing, malevolent people. I mean, I don't think they're good people. I don't at all. I don't think they have anybody's best interests beyond their own. Melania, though. I don't know. I mean, she may be different. You know, it's just hard to say. Nobody really knows her. Publicly. So
right.
We don't have a lot to go on there. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe she's an awesome mom and loves Barron and it's hard. Or, you know, maybe there are financial reasons. Maybe there's legal reasons.
Sure. I would be hard pressed to believe that someone who, meaning him, behaves this way to strangers, who will mock a reporter with a disability, who will say all of these horrible things about fellow human beings, is like a loving and tender spouse.
No. I mean, he is a if there's one thing every American should be able to agree on right now, it's that he is a jerk. I mean, even his supporters, and I think that's what part of what they like about him.
Oh, he's tell it like it is.
Yeah, he's a jerk. I mean, I don't have any problem saying that at all. And honestly, if he was, you know, a well-intentioned jerk who was putting the country on a good track, I'd be more inclined to be like, well, okay, he's kind of a jerk, but whatever. But no, I mean, the guy is not nice. There's nothing, there is no evidence of kindness coming from him, or even like basic humanity, really.
No. And like the classic gaslighting, classic behavior of an abuser that he's done, like, if it was revealed, I'm not calling him a spousal abuser, but if it came out later, like an abuse allegation, I'd be willing to believe that.
Sure.
I mean, look how he treats total strangers.
Yeah.
If you're going to treat strangers that shittily, of course you're going to treat your spouse like crap.
Yeah. No, I mean, he has all the markings of a full-blown narcissist.
For sure.
You know, there's just no reason to think otherwise. And I mean, and if you do think otherwise, you're given the benefit of the doubt to somebody who has done nothing to deserve
nothing to deserve
of that doubt. So,
speaking of Ivanka and Jared, who is this rabbi that gives them permission to do everything on Shabbos every time? Who is this rabbi?
Well, yeah, I thought that, what was it called? It was a rabbinical pass or something like that, or what was the?
Well, if you need to violate the Sabbath, you can get like a rabbinic dispensation if you follow that. And it's usually like, I this is the day I can get a heart transplant. It's usually for shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for like, you know, I know people that are like, I'm going to need a rabbinic dispensation in the event my wife goes into labor on the Sabbath so that I can drive, you know, like shit like that.
Right.
It's usually for big deal, life-saving kind of stuff, not, I really need to babysit my dad in this trip overseas. It's usually not stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they got it for the inauguration. Mm-hmm. That was a Saturday. They got it for this trip. They flew. I mean, fly. It's one thing to fly prior to and then be in another city on Shabbat. That's one thing. But to be traveling, that's high up there.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't understand why. And look, the best part of my religion is that you build it to suit yourself, and it's not prescribed for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your own. It's about what is resonant and meaningful to you. And the higher you go on the orthodoxy chain, the less wiggle room there is on that stuff. But like, why go through the motions of identifying as orthodox? Why not ratchet it down a little bit? Go a little conservadox. Conservative, reform, something like that for now, while you're clearly going to be in demand on holy days, and just not worry about it. Like, why even put that out there if you're just going to get rabbinic dispensation to move about the country and the world on the Sabbath?
Well, and are you getting any kind of, I am not familiar entirely with the Jewish faith, but do you get dispensation for helping your father take away health care from millions of people? I mean, like, it just seems like there is, along with the don't do this on a certain day thing, there is also elements to what they do that that run very much afoul with most religions that I'm familiar with.
Well, and it's not quite a point system, so yeah. Maybe you being a jag during the rest of the week isn't factored in.
Uh-huh.
but there is an interesting theory that floats up once in a while about, like, somebody took a look at Trump's tweets from Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown, so the entire 25-hour period mm-hmm. of the Sabbath, and kind of decided that they were a bit more inflammatory during that time, which powered this idea that Jared Kushner is gut-checking them prior to them being sent.
Or Ivanka.
Like one of them is kind of gatekeeping his tweets a little bit because ostensibly when they are off technology during Shabbat, he's like freewheeling with the Twitter.
Yeah, right.
So there's that theory that bubbles up once in a while, which, okay, that's fair. That's interesting. That's a worthwhile thing to look at.
Yeah.
I just don't know why they're bothering because it's just all it does is make those of us in the tribe just kind of like snipe and roll our eyes. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't read anything about, like, from sort of outside rabbinical sources saying, like, yeah, you shouldn't be getting a dispensation for that or not. Like, I didn't see if that really...
Well, and even then, we don't have a Vatican, you know?
Right.
And that's the tricky part. It's there's an expression where you're like, ask two Jews, get three opinions, which is a thing that if you rely on a rabbi to decide something for you, or if you need rabbinic counsel, that's going to be that person's opinion, just like a judge. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Like, you want to go, if you're looking for a particular outcome, you're going to ask a particular rabbi because you know he or she will be lenient about this thing.
Yeah.
If you want a particular way, you just want to be absolved of having to decide for yourself.
Yeah.
If that's the route you go, if you identify Orthodox where you would be consulting a rabbi for this kind of stuff. I just think, like, here's the thing. Of all the groups, we've assimilated pretty well, and we, for the most part, until, say, this year, fly under the radar, for the most part, relatively unscathed in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about 60 years
sure,
ago,
right,
like right now,
yeah.
in this country. So, of all the groups, you know, I think we do pretty well, but part of what we do is we recognize that we're like 1% of 1% of the world's population. We're just like a tiny little speck on the map. So we don't do shit like that. We don't like announce to the world, hey, we got rabbinic dispensation to do this thing. You just go do it.
Right. That's a really good point because they could have said nothing. And at least,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some Jewish people would have taken note of it, but I would have, that never would have crossed my mind
right.
you know, just a dude.
You're honorary member of the tribe. It's
true.
Fine.
I did.
But yeah, like plenty of people, the majority of the world wouldn't have noticed
mm-hmm.
and wouldn't have thought anything of it. And it just would have been a conversation probably in Orthodox and conservative communities.
Yeah. Right.
Of like, what the hell are they doing flying on Shabbat? So I think just ratchet it down. Maybe identify something else. I don't know. You can't tell anyone how to practice,
yeah,
how to live.
Yeah, it does get tricky. But I don't think, I mean, my thing, just from a general, if you take religion just as a, not a particular type of religion, but as a, you know, a guiding principle and the idea that we should do good things and be good people and stuff, I would think that pretty much anybody in that circle right now should kind of tone down the religion talk a little bit because the guy running the show is not exactly the poster boy for this sort of stuff. And,
yeah.
you know, the stuff that you're talking about doing, the things that have happened, the obvious, I mean, the lying is so, so vivid and transparent and in your face that all of these things fly against. So I don't give a crap if Jared and Ivanka or say they're Orthodox or they say whatever. I'm like, whatever faith you're following, you're not really following some of the more important parts of it in terms of, you know, standing up to some of these things that are happening. And I don't mean just ideological, you know, I don't mean like just liberal or conservative type things. I mean like, you know, lying.
Sure.
Calling people names, you know, just behaving like a bully, you know, all kinds of these things. So that the talk of devout faith, it's the same with Mike Pence. I'm like, you know, faith my ass. I mean, come on. Like,
right.
you know, look at what you're standing next to. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, I think if we're going to go down that path, there's the idea in Judaism that's quite, you know, a very big deal, a big part of it, is tikkun olam, which means to repair the world. And that's, you know, we don't really do the heaven hell concept. It's just like, do the good thing because it's the right thing to do, not because you want a reward. So the idea is we all have an obligation to leave things better than we find them. To, if there's a way to contribute, you do it. You don't just pass by any opportunity, large or small, to make the world better. You just do it. Whether that's like picking up a room that's messy or feeding someone who's starving, like whatever that is, or say not taking health care away from millions of people, whatever that is, there's a big humanitarian theme. And that to me, I mean, I think the Shabbat part is just weird, but I think the Tikkun Olam part is troubling. That and there's plenty of people who are like, I'm not high on the religious part, but I like to go through, I like to do these things because I feel part of a community. There's plenty of people like, and at no point in our religion is there a place where you're told what to believe. That's why we don't often use the word faith, because no one's telling you what to believe. You, the belief is up to the individual. The actions are what's the discussion part. So, but the Tikkun Olam part, that's a big central part. That's a big, big part. And I'm like, where is that? Where's the repair of the world there, madam?
Yeah. Well, and yeah, and that's a big, I mean, if you, I mean, if you look at Christianity, that's a big, if you look at Jesus specifically, like what he's, what he was talking about is very much along the same lines. I mean, it's preaching kindness and helping others, helping, you know, people, lifting people up, you know, that the Pope,
or at the very least not squashing them.
Right. The Pope washes people's feet, washes the feet of prisoners for a reason. You know, that's not just like because, you know, he thinks that's makes him look good. I mean, that's
he's,
in line.
He's under feet.
Yeah, he's going to. Sorry. wait, there's going to be a lightning bolt coming down anymore.
Every time we were ripping on the Pope. Look.
Yeah. But no,
as far as popes go, this guy seems pretty okay.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Like, I don't agree with everything he said. The whole thing about, like, forgiving the abortion. Like, hold your roll, please. Stop.
Yeah,
stop.
No, I know.
But, like, as far as popes go, I believe he is a pretty righteous dude.
I do too. And I will frankly love him forever simply because of the scowl on his face when he was photographed next to Donald Trump today.
He did not want to be there.
Brilliant. And people were tweeting all of these montages of pictures of the Pope with Angela Merkel and with Obama, and they're like, and like the Prime Minister of Britain, and the Pope is like, laughing, and he's having a great time. And then there's a picture with Trump, and I mean, he looks like
side eye,
just like, oh God, what is it? You know, it's like he just got he's being visited by the Antichrist or something like that.
Oh, he's not just pleased at all.
No, I mean, it's not. There's no, I don't. What I think is going to be funny after this long trip that Trump has been on is, somebody took his phone away. I don't know how they pulled it off, but he hasn't said anything. He hasn't tweeted anything bonkers or inflammatory for days since he's been on this trip. He's going to get home and he's going to start going,
he's going to go through his timeline
he's gonna
freak out.
Cruise through the at replies a little bit or something and be like, what? And then he's just going to launch a nuke somewhere. I mean, I swear to God, he's going to lose his damn mind because, you know, he's not seeing any of this, but everywhere he's been, it's just been like side eye, hand slap, eye roll. You know,
and let's not overlook that Internetlandia spent 26 hours talking about the orb.
Right, that picture. I was like, oh my God, if Obama had done that, like,
it would have lost their minds.
Fox would have. They would never have stopped.
They would have made up a story and said, this is like a secret Muslim stuff, proof that he's a Muslim.
They would have created
as if that would be the worst thing.
They would have created an entirely new network just to focus on orb related news.
That orb TV. Oh my God.
And then Trump got to Israel and said, I just got back from the Middle East. It's like,
dumbass. Where do you think you are?
So many. And it's like with anything else. I mean, and we're so, we're so bombarded by this stuff now that it's becoming, sadly, like, stuff just gets lost because you're like, eh, whatever. But any of these things, if Clinton was president and she'd said something like that, if Bill had slapped her hand away, for example, or if Obama had touched the orb, or, you know, just any of these things would have been massive stories.
Huge.
But with him, it's just kind of like, oh, great, it's Tuesday, you know, like, whatever.
Right. Also, I would say, looking at the head covering narrative has been funny and weird. It was such a big deal that Ivanka and Melania were not going to wear hijab while in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well,
but they were covered. Like, they did have, like, wrist to neck, but their heads were not covered.
And their legs, I think, were
And their
covered,
legs, yeah.
Right.
But they were, like, in a very modest dress.
Yeah.
But their hair was not covered.
Right.
Then Trump, fast forward, is at the wall wearing kippah, like, right there with a kippah on, which everyone said looked like a flying saucer because they decided his hair was the same color as the wall and he blended in. Like, oh my God, stop. And then fast forward to the Pope picture, Melania and Ivanka both have on, I don't know what that's called, but there's a like a black lace.
I didn't, yeah, the, somebody
like,
said.
What are you doing?
They look like the Addams family. They look like.
Well, they look like little ladies at funerals. What are you doing?
I don't know. Yeah, that baffled me. I don't know if there is a, there may, maybe there's a thing there that I'm not aware of. I didn't look up like pictures of Michelle Obama to see if she wore, so I don't know if that's a thing you wear when you see the Pope, but. It looked like they were getting ready for a funeral is really what I thought.
Well, I thought the whole thing was so strange. Like there's hypocrisy in head covering. Like if you are, I don't know, I would probably just, I would do what is customary of that land as long as it wasn't hurting anybody.
Sure.
Like I would not feel oppressed. I have been in settings in which I had to put something over my head. That's not a big deal to me.
Yeah.
That made everybody in the room comfortable. I was able to do my job there and ask the questions I need to ask. Done. Not a big deal to
me. I insist that you wear a Dairy Queen hat while we were recording. It's the same thing, right?
It's just like that. It is exactly like that. And I mean, it's complicated. It's weird. I mean, the simple thing of a piece of fabric on top of someone's head became so powerful. People were fighting about it. I saw so many fights online. People were like, how can he wear the head covering of the Jew? And I'm like, well, look, plenty of non-Jewish men go to Jewish stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've ever gone to a bar mitzvah, there's plenty of like, you know, teachers or friends of the family there who are like, okay, I'm in a synagogue. I'm at a Jewish thing. I'm going to wear this. That's fine. The weirdest thing I thought, well, no, not the weirdest. There's no such thing as the weirdest anymore. But I said something about, so the plural, the singular is kippah, the plural is kippot.
Mm-hmm.
Colloquially, like the Yiddish is yarmulke, but the Hebrew is kippah. And I said kippot in a tweet, and some dude tried to like juice-plain me and tell me like, that's actually, it's called a yarmulke and this, and I was like, dude. And he was like, and kippah, it's actually this. And I was like, well, no, kippot is the plural and that's accurate. And well, no. Okay. All right. It's okay. Geez, clearly a touchy subject. I'm like, don't even with that hysterical woman trope.
He got juice-plained followed by hysterical woman.
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
well, that's the classic mansplain thing. Like it's the, well, actually I know this thing that you don't. And then if you say, no, it's this, no matter how sweetly.
Yeah.
You could say it with a bouquet of flowers and $1 million in your hand. They'll be like, okay, freaking out lady.
Whoa,
calm down. Your time of the month. Like, no matter what you say, that is what the response is going to be.
Easy. Dang.
Even if it's like, well, actually, you owe me $10,000. Oh, no, I owe you $1 million. Let me give you that $1 million now. Okay, why don't you just settle down, hysterical woman. It is always that. It is the weirdest thing. And I was just like, I was screen grabbed and was like, sent it to a friend of mine. I was like, what's happening? I think I sent it to you too. I was I just got juice-plained. What's happening? Next level mansplaining.
Goy-splaining or something like that?
Right. Yeah. Goy-splained. Right. Right. Because if you follow the, yeah. Anyway.
Whatever. Yeah.
That whole thing.
Fun stuff. Oh, but there was also the headscarf, the hijab issue in Saudi Arabia, where Trump had griped about Michelle Obama not wearing a headscarf when they went there.
All his tweets come back to haunt him.
I know. It's amazing. It's absolutely stunning. There is a tweet for every single thing he does that says the exact opposite. It's almost as if, you know, he was intentionally writing like a backwards prediction of the future or something.
I acknowledge that anyone can change. You can change. You can reevaluate your views. You can change who, like, that's cool. That's your right to do that, but not quite so.
Not
also,
full.
Like, kind of keep in mind that you said that at one point.
Right. Yeah. Because he's never commented on that. He's never about the constant contradictions. There's never been like, oh, yeah, you know what? I know I shouldn't have tweeted or, you know, whatever. There's just, or he hasn't. He could laugh it off. I mean, there's a million things he could do, but he, of course, just doesn't say anything. There's probably a tweet somewhere that says, if I'm ever caught for constantly contradicting my own tweets, I will definitely say something.
I will say something by not saying anything. Yes. Then it gets really meta.
Yeah. Whoa.
Really meta.
Whoa, dude.
Well, as we are running down the clock here, predictions for the week ahead. I predict more unproductive fighting about proposed budget changes.
Yeah, that's going to keep going. And honestly, the thing that, I mean, the Trump budget proposal is effectively meaningless because right. Congress is what the body that actually sure. is going to come up with this. So, but it is a reflection of Trump's priorities and ideals, and it is scary as hell because
it's terrible.
And also, boy, do I hope some of those Trump supporters out there wake up and actually read some of this because it's going to eviscerate them. I mean, this is a bad, scary set of stuff that is going to grossly benefit the rich and just demolish a lot of services in the Rust Belt and in other places that went for him. Where there are a lot of people who rely on Social Security issues or Social Security services, who rely on food stamps, sometimes Medicaid. Anyway, bad deal across the board. But also isn't going to mean squat because Congress is going to get hold of it and we'll see where that goes. They're at least a little more directly touched by
sure.
their constituents getting extremely upset. So that should certainly temper things at least.
So don't let up now.
No.
Keep doing the things, contacting your people. Also, there is an interesting service called ResistBot. Have mm-hmm. you seen
yeah,
that?
I have.
That's, I highly recommend that. It was like right after the election, there was all that stuff and like I bookmarked all the things as they came up and after the inauguration and I was going back through them. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about ResistBot.
Yeah.
Already, because that seems like 700 years ago.
It does. It really does. I mean, we're aging in Trump years. Whatever
sure.
that, whatever.
Right.
I haven't figured out
way
the,
faster
the
than
formula,
dog years.
But yeah.
But it's useful. Like you send a text and it says, give us your address. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it says, okay, these are your representatives. What would you like to say? And you just type the text and they put it in a letter and off they go to your people.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah.
It's like, if that exists, you have no excuse. It is the easiest thing.
Yeah, right. It'll take you 2 minutes to do that.
Tops. So. It's very, very simple.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think those kind of anything like that is a great service and a really helpful and important right now. I do think Trump was going to get back from this trip. He's going to be tie-tie. He's going to be so sleepy.
Tie-tie.
So sleepy. He hasn't been to one of his golf courses in like more than a week.
I love tie-tie.
He's going to need to make nappies, and he's going to freaking melt down. I guarantee you something crazy is coming out of that man's mouth or Twitter feed very soon. Very, very soon.
When does he get back? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I think he's going to Germany next, I believe.
That sounds right.
But I could be wrong about that. I don't memorize the man's schedule. Who cares? But but yeah, something is coming along those lines for sure. And, you know, in the meantime, even while he's been gone, the Russia stuff has not slowed down at all. Now
no.
Michael Flynn is pleading the fifth, and their subpoenas are flying and all kinds of stuff. So interesting times ahead. We'll see. But
I was on three conference calls earlier this morning, and all of them included the phrase, yeah, times we live in. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Because we all just, it was like, that's the small talk right now.
Yeah, it
where
is.
You're like, either waiting for everyone to join or you're wrapping up a call. It's like, so, or we're waiting or kind of starting to get into a call or something. Mm-hmm. You're like, so, wow, Russia stuff. And you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, lots of.
Yeah, there's also a little padding around, too, to make sure that you're not talking to somebody who maybe is pro-Trump and you're, you know,
right.
like you want to be a little careful with when it comes to that. But
you have to test your enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
One final thing I have to say that's like really been bothering the crap out of me, and this has been going on for a while, but it came up this week because there was a blog post about it that surfaced from like one of the neo-Nazi publications about the practice of stealthing, which is having sex with a woman and taking off the condom without her knowing.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about
it. And there's an editor's note on two editor's notes at the end of it. One of them was like, well, if this is not legal where you live, we don't want you breaking the law there, bros. And then the second one is like, but that said, if she resists, if she catches on and tries to resist, here's how to restrain her. It's horrifying.
Jesus.
It is some Handmaid's Tale shit. It is crazy. I can't stop thinking about it. That's so horrible and so scary.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, that's just absolutely...
Nobody have sex with any white man till after the revolution, just to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I tell you, white guys are... Right now, man, it's just a...
Look, your name's on the list. There's like a couple of white dudes I know that will be spared in the revolution. I will put you on the safe list of like, this white dude's okay.
Thank goodness. And I'm sorry, fellow white dudes, but I ain't taking you with me. You're on your own. You guys are on your own, suckers. You guys have made your damn bed. You can lay in that shit.
See ya, bros. I'm out. Right. Yes. You're approved in the revolution.
Sweet.
You won't be. I don't know. What are we gonna do?
Neither.
Throw them out windows. Whatever happens.
Giant blender.
I feel like I've. If this was a sitcom, it would be like fast forward to me on trial and, you know, for journalism jail. I'd be like, I wasn't literally going to throw all the white men out the window. I was just saying there's some bad behavior right now. Well, I'm saying, I know.
This will be on Hannity tomorrow night.
He is not on the safety list. He is not on the Amy Guth list of approved white men.
Yeah, exactly. So some crazy liberal fascist Chicago journalist woman said she's going to kill all the white men.
Oh, Sean Hannity, do me that favor.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be such a good career move if Sean Hannity were to complain about me.
Come at you.
Bring it, bro.
Yeah, right.
Well, he is not on my list of cool white men I hope survive the revolution.
Excellent. I'm with that.
There's only like five of y'all on my list, so it's fine.
Sorry, we're a small.
I'm related to two of them.
We're a small collective.
Good times. All right. Now that I have secured my future in journalism jail, I probably wasn't going to survive the revolution anyway. It's all good. This has been another fine episode of Guth and Upke on Politics. We will see you next time.